This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to Community News, a program sponsored in part by the Lions Clubs of Boylston and Bolton, and thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. In the next hour, we will be bringing you news from Berlin, Bolton, Boylston, Clinton, Lancaster, Stirling, and West Boylston. Today, we'll be reading from the June 5th edition of the Clinton Item. All articles, unless otherwise noted, are by Jan Gottesman, editor. This is Peter Wilson. Our first article today is from West Boylston. Connors earns seat on West Boylston Select Board. Michael Connors has joined the West Boylston Select Board after votes were tallied from the June 2nd West Boylston election. Connors defeated Mark Frieden and Winthrop Handy for the three-year seat. Preliminary results showed Connors had 429 votes to Frieden's 202 and Handy's 66. Thank you very much to everyone that came out to vote. I'm grateful and humbled by all the support and you entrusting me to be on the select board, Connors said. I promise to work hard, listen, and always do what is best for the town as a whole. And Matthew Barakian beat Paul Anderson for a four-year seat on the planning board, 314 votes to 268. All other seats were unopposed. There were write-ins for a three-year seat on the cemetery trustees. The winner was not announced before the item went to press. Winning other posts were school committee, two three-year seats, incumbents Nancy Hubbard and Emily Lehman. Library trustees, two three-year seats, incumbents Sharon Hennessy and Deborah Stamper. Planning board, 5 years, incumbent Mark Frieden. Board of Light Commissioners, 3 years, incumbent James Padone Jr. Housing Authority, 5 years, incumbent Brenda Bowman. Housing Authority, 1 year, Bethany Ingram. And Board of Water Commissioners, 3 years, incumbent Michael Ward. In news from Clinton, two crashes involving juveniles and electric vehicles draw concern. Clinton police are investigating a pair of accidents involving juveniles on electric vehicles, one on Wednesday, May 27th, and a second on Thursday, May 28th. The second accident involved two juveniles, according to Police Chief Brian Coyne. It occurred at about 7:15 on May 28th on Water Street, near the intersection of Centennial Street. The crash involved two juveniles on an e-bike who crashed into a motor vehicle while it was turning right off of Water Street onto Centennial Street. Both of the juveniles were evaluated by Clinton firefighter EMTs at the scene before being transported to UMass Worcester to be treated for their injuries, Coyne said Friday, May 29th. This crash is under investigation, led by Clinton Patrol Officer Shane Gilman. According to Lieutenant Tom Nelson, the first accident occurred on High Street at approximately 6:45 p.m. on May 27th. The police report indicates that a motor vehicle and a juvenile operating an electric scooter were both traveling southbound on High Street, Nelson said. The operator of the motor vehicle attempted to turn into a parking spot when the vehicle and the scooter collided. The juvenile male suffered injuries as a result of the crash. Nelson said the juvenile was treated by Clinton Fire Department EMTs and paramedics from the Stirling Fire Department before being transported to the hospital for an evaluation. This crash is under investigation by Officer Jacob Brescia. Coyne said the officers are looking into whether any existing laws were violated as part of their investigation. Their first concern on scene last night was to ensure everyone's safety and treatment of any injuries, the chief said. The officers will follow up with the involved juveniles and their parents' guardians to address any violations, inappropriate equipment and or operation, etc., that may have occurred or contributed to the crash. Coyne said the department will be posting some information about rider safety and the current laws relating to operation of e-bikes and scooters. I know that these bikes and scooters have become increasingly popular and are everywhere in our community and beyond. Governor Maura Healey has spoken recently about the issue and some possible legislation to strengthen and update some laws to address these vehicles, the chief said. In early May, Healey filed legislation to strengthen public safety and regulate micromobility devices like e-bikes, scooters, and mopeds, known as the Ride Safety Act, which builds on recommendations from a statewide commission created under Healey's Mass Leads Act and responds directly to growing safety concerns on Massachusetts roads, sidewalks, bike lanes, and positions Massachusetts as a national leader in regulating emerging transportation technologies. Representative Meg Kilcoyne said a hearing was held recently on the bill. Micromobility devices are already part of daily life for many Massachusetts residents and businesses, but current law provides limited guidance that creates confusion and increases safety risks for riders, pedestrians, and law enforcement, according to a press release from the state. As warmer weather approaches and more residents take to roads, Governor Healey is acting now to address rising safety concerns, such as reckless driving and crashes, and ensure communities have clear, consistent rules in place to keep people safe. Micromobility is already a part of how people get to work, school, and around their communities, but right now the rules are unclear and inconsistent, Healey said. We're seeing too much reckless behavior, more crashes and close calls, and too many people, especially pedestrians and young riders, are at risk. This bill is about protecting people and preventing tragedies before they happen. The Ride Safe Act will establish clear safety rules, hold riders accountable, reduce congestion, and make our roads safer for everyone. The governor's legislation introduces a new system that regulates devices based on speed rather than device type, helping ensure rules keep pace with rapidly evolving technology while addressing the real safety issues that come with higher speed devices. Our next article is entitled Principal Spends Night Up on the Roof. For 2 years, Clinton Middle School principal Tyler Steffi has slept on the school roof, but for a reason. I have challenged the students to have attendance of over 96% on English and math MCAS days, he said. Last year, they reached over 96%, and this year, it was over 98%. I promised them that if they achieved that goal, I would camp on the roof. Last year, he camped out, and it was about 40 degrees. This year, on the night of May 28th, it sure was windy, he said. When we challenged our students in grades 5 to 8 to achieve a 97% or higher attendance rate for our English and math state assessments, they didn't just meet that goal, they exceeded it, Steffi said. Their commitment to being present, prepared, and ready to do their best demonstrated exactly the kind of responsibility and perseverance we hope to foster in middle school. Because they crushed the challenge, I followed through on my promise and spent the night camping on the roof of Clinton Middle School. The overnight adventure had its moments. There was plenty of wind, a little rain, and one unexpected discovery, Steffi said, adding, the Clinton train is much louder in the middle of the night than I had ever imagined. I mean, is the Clinton train the loudest in the entire Commonwealth? Despite the less-than-perfect camping conditions, it was a memorable experience and a fun way to celebrate the hard work and dedication our students showed through the testing season. But what made his evening more special was the support from students and families. Families stopped by throughout the evening, bringing popcorn, marshmallows, a full pizza, Doritos, Squishmallow, and plenty of other fun surprises, he said. Their enthusiasm turned a simple rooftop campout into a wonderful celebration. Middle school should be a healthy balance of rigor and fun, and this event was a perfect reminder that when students rise to a challenge, it's worth taking the time to celebrate together, Steffi said, adding, we are Clinton Middle School proud. Next year, I'll bring a thicker sleeping bag and maybe some earplugs, he said. Our next article is entitled Clinton Voters Turn Down Library Project, but okay the fire truck. It was a historic turnout for the Clinton Town Hall, with lines around the block to enter and sign in. Town Clerk Holly Sargent said there were 606 people registered, with guests, including several children. Most of the people were there for the library building project, which required a two-thirds vote to authorize the borrowing for the $24 million project. After a delay of about an hour to start the meeting, voters moved quickly through articles to the library vote, and then progress screeched to a halt. After some discussion, moderator Terrence Ingano closed discussion and announced a unique voting system. Every voter needed to report back to their precincts to get a voting card, then put either the yes or no half in a voting box. This process took about an hour, and then the votes had to be counted. After an hour, Ingano moved forward with other articles while waiting for the tally. That meant skipping over the second debt exclusion, which was $1 million for a new fire truck, while the tallying was still going on. Ultimately, the voting came out against the library project. With 575 voters casting ballots, it was 77 votes short of the two-thirds majority vote needed to approve the borrowing. The final vote was 306 yes, 269 no. The question will be on the Monday, June 8th election ballot, since ballots are printed before the town meeting. Some have speculated that if the vote is favorable at the election, the proposal could return to a future special town meeting. Eventually, the same process was begun for the fire truck, with another long delay waiting for the voting and counting. The fire truck was approved, 204 to 47. It also needs to be confirmed at the election June 8th. The voters approved almost every other question, including overnight kennel boarding, but tabled a few, including a citizen petition to ban serving on more than one board. In news submitted by Ken Cleveland, item correspondent, Lancaster reviews revised plan for industrial school site. State officials, as well as consultants who guided the process, recently presented tweaked plans on redeveloping the former industrial school for girls site on Old Common Road. The hope is that the changes will move the proposal closer to approvals that could entice a developer. A key element is the inclusion of new drinking water well site on the property, requiring rearranging some elements, but resulting in what consultants said was a better plan on the site controlled by DCAMM. It could also benefit the RFK use of its portion of the original site. There's a lot we all collectively liked about the plan last summer, DCAMM Commissioner Adam Backey told the approximately 35 residents gathered in Mary Rawlinson Elementary School's auditorium on May 19th. But it did not address some practical infrastructure elements, he said, especially the drinking water concerns. The well included in the plan now will provide water for the development, which current town water capacity could not meet. The new well will also help the municipal needs. Given the limits of sewer capacity at the Clinton plant, the development would have its own wastewater system. What has not changed is the character of the development, Backey said. The change did create a huge production area for where water collects and recharges the well, and conversations with RFK on their needs shifted some of the proposed development. He said DCAMM is expecting to incorporate feedback in a revision and then move forward with a request for proposals to get a developer over the summer. There was real concern about being revenue positive for the community. We understand the importance of that, Backey said. The memory of the historic school will not be erased. Chris Dempsey of Spec Dempsey, the consultants on the project, said our goal is to preserve as many of those historic buildings as possible. Jeff Speck said they will save the buildings they can, with some being repurposed. The chapel, for instance, will be a focal point of a new common area. Not all can be saved, such as those where the first floor is now in the basement. The proposed 386 housing units could have 854 bedrooms, he said, including 85 apartments in existing buildings, as well as about 25,000 square feet of retail space. as of right, would allow 288 units under the state's Affordable Housing Act, he said. The plan's 386 units, as designed, would provide a much more rural approach. The builder may want to change some details, Speck said. The plan has to be brought to town meeting for some zoning changes to make the plan work as presented. Residents who spoke were generally supportive of the plan, including the addition of business areas. Being located near the edge of the development off Still River Road would provide desirable visibility for the businesses, which would need more customers than the development could provide, Speck said. In the end, the consultants and Backey said, adjusting the zoning would get a project that the town would want. Given the topography, the old roads, which Speck said were designed by those who knew how to use the site, were ultimately the best to keep in the plan. Elements such as roads would be narrower, limiting on-street parking. Backey said they envisioned the town not the maintaining the roads, but using a homeowners association model. Most parking for homes would be in the back, avoiding snout houses, with garages as the prominent frontal feature. While a developer might be able to adjust the style of homes, it was noted that the New England market likes traditional designs. The site would consist of a variety of housing, from single family to apartments. Since the state would require the town's inclusionary zoning be used, affordable units could get Lancaster closer to the 10% affordable target the state uses. Hitting that target would give the town more control of affordable housing units built under the 40B affordable housing law. The zoning approved in town and the purchase and sale agreement will have certain limitations. The state owns this property. We are the ones that will sell to a developer and control the process, Backey said, including restrictions. Impacts on the schools were also discussed. Dempsey noted a goal of being net neutral or positive revenue for the town. Some increase in school population might be expected, but they said revenue generated would be more than the cost to provide services, including any new school children. Backey said in Massachusetts, the average age of residents is going up and the number of students is going down. The effort to redevelop the site has already had an impact. Louis DiNatale III said of the planning process, I got so excited I ran for planning board. The plans may end up before town boards, such as the Planning Board and the Zoning Board of Appeals, as well as the Conservation Commission, for certain elements. The presentation was recorded and is available on the SLCT YouTube channel. From Bolton, Neshoba invites more students in for school choice. The Neshoba Regional School District is expanding its number of school choice seats. At the May 27 meeting, the Neshoba Regional School Committee expanded the number of ninth grade seats to 9 from the 4 originally approved. Superintendent Kirk Downing said the district had 9 families apply for 4 seats in the ninth grade, which would bring the estimated student population in that grade to 200. 5 more students would still be well below the ceiling set by the district. I hope we just made 5 families nights, School Committee Chair Lee Viverito said after the unanimous vote. In all, there were 3 lotteries in grades with more applicants than seats. 9 third-grade students applied for third-grade spots at Mary Rawlinson Elementary in Lancaster. 4 were selected, and the remaining 5 were placed in order on a waiting list. Since Stowe's Center School third grade had only 1 applicant, the remaining 3 seats will be offered to the students on the wait list. A lottery was also conducted for 6th grade at Luther Burbank Middle School in Lancaster. There were 8 applicants for 4 seats. The remaining 4 not chosen were placed on a wait list and given the option of attending Hale Middle School in Stowe. The district had 1 applicant for each 4th grade at Florence Sawyer School in Bolton and Center School, and 4 students applying for 7th grade seats, 2 at Lancaster's Luther Burbank Middle School and 2 at Bolton's Florence Sawyer School. All those students received seats. At Neshoba, there were 3 applicants, each for 11th and 12th grade. All were accepted. The committee will hold a reorganization meeting on June 10th. Our next article is entitled Sterling OK's Succession Plan for Treasurer. With Victoria Smith on a countdown to retirement from her job as treasurer-collector in Sterling, her succession plan was approved by members of the Select Board on May 27th. Smith said she has about 125 days to go as of the meeting and was looking for an internal reorganization that would move current Assistant Treasurer Sharon McGowan to her position as treasurer-collector and Assistant Collector Megan Hendley to the Assistant Treasurer's position. Smith said she'd been training the two for the last few months. She got the okay from the town to hire an assistant collector a month before Smith's leaving to allow for a seamless transition. McGowan started in Berlin in 2014, eventually becoming the administrative assistant to the police and fire departments before moving to the treasurer's department part-time in Lancaster. She was asked to fill in part-time when the assistant treasurer was out and ended up making the move to Sterling full-time. Henley has worked in municipal government in Sterling for 19 years, previously with the light department. She moved into the assistant collector's role in 2024. Select Board Chairman Maureen Cranston noted that Henley collected about $500,000 in past due tax title money. Select Board Member David Smith noted that approving Victoria Smith's succession plan falls into the planning the board had previously talked about for several departments. The Smiths are married. Scholarship High School seniors Matea Morini and Marin Paquette were each awarded $750 in scholarships. In other news, Paquette will be attending Suffolk University as an international business major on the pre-law track. Morini is going to Lafayette University to study government and law, and she's thinking about adding a minor in environmental studies. In other business, Cranston started the meeting with a moment of silence for firefighter James Emerton, who died May 16th. He was the best friend anyone could ask for, and I can say from experience, he gave the best hugs, Cranston said. His humor was better than any comedian. In a letter submitted to the editor by Jacqueline Masharia, gratitude to Luther Burbank and the Neshoba District communities. As I prepare to begin a new chapter in my life, I would like to express my heartfelt gratitude to the community that has been such an important part of my journey. Since joining the Neshoba District in February 2001, I have experienced extraordinary kindness from students, colleagues, administrators, parents, and community members. I'm deeply grateful for the relationships, experiences, and opportunities that have shaped my career. One of the greatest joys of teaching has been watching students discover that they can learn and even enjoy mathematics and algebra. Seeing their confidence grow as understanding replaces uncertainty has been incredibly rewarding. I have also been privileged to witness significant growth in our school's MCAS scores, reflecting the dedication of students, families, and educators working together. Like any long career, there were occasional challenges. However, those moments were far outweighed by the positive memories, meaningful experiences, and fun I enjoyed through the years. Among my most treasured memories are the approximate 20 trips I took to Washington, D.C. with 8th grade students. While these trips were designed for students, I learned and grew alongside them, gaining a deeper appreciation for our nation's history. I hope to remain connected with many who have been a blessing to me. I will also continue to be a proud ambassador for this district. I believe our staff comes to work each day with a shared commitment to improving learning opportunities for students and fostering a love of learning. One of my greatest honors of my career was receiving the Presidential Award for Excellence in Mathematics and Science Teaching after being nominated by a parent. While gratifying, the award reflects the support, encouragement, and investment of many people throughout my career. Thank you for allowing me the privilege of serving your children and being part of a community that values education. With sincere gratitude, Jacqueline Masharia, Luther Burbank Middle School. And from Berlin, Berlin searching for town clerk weeks after election. Less than 2 weeks after the annual election, Berlin is already looking for a new town clerk. On May 20th, former town clerk Eloise Salas, who did not run for re-election, was sent a letter by Kaylee Pittard, who won the election unopposed, on May 11th as formal notification that I will not be accepting the elected position of town clerk for the town of Berlin. This was not an easy decision, she wrote. After careful consideration, I have determined that my current family responsibilities and professional workload will not allow me to dedicate the time and attention the position deserves. I am sincerely grateful to the voters and community members who place their trust in me, and I deeply appreciate the support and encouragement I received throughout the election process, Pittard said. The select board met May 22nd and appointed Assistant Town Clerk James Wheeler as acting town clerk until July 13th, when the town looks for a long-term interim town clerk until the May 2027 election. Wheeler, who has been the assistant for several years, will be paid $40 an hour to fill in. Lisa Wysocki and Peg Stone said the board likely will be meeting in the near future to discuss putting a question back on the town meeting warrant to change the position from elected to appointed, so this doesn't happen again. There are several statutory issues the town clerk has to perform, so the position cannot remain unfilled. One of those positions is swearing in new officials. Wheeler agreed to take the part-time position temporarily. James can't do the hours in the summer, Wysocki noted, adding he needs to take care of the farm. Hopefully we can get someone relatively soon. Interim town administrator Jeff Nutting said he spoke to Wheeler and he said he was willing to do it in the short run. Wheeler runs Cordelia's farm in Berlin. And in neighbor-to-neighbor news, student honors. From Williamsburg, Virginia, Blake Schwartz of Bolton and Madison Powell of Sterling were recently named to the Spring Dean's List at the College of William and Mary. From Easton, Jenna Dumay and Justin Ethier of Lancaster were named to the Spring Dean's List at Stonehill College. In graduation news, from Worcester, Clark University held its commencement exercises at the DCU Center in Worcester on May 18th, which included several local graduates. Zemaine Abney of West Boylston, cum laude with a bachelor's in interactive media, Emma Allen of West Boylston, bachelor's in sociology, Aria Cranford of Berlin, summa cum laude with bachelor's in geography, Mavis Gordon Ozeadin of Bolton, bachelor's in screen studies, Xander Haddock of Sterling, magna cum laude with a bachelor's with high honors in music, Jason Iafradi of Sterling, bachelor's in sociology, Fadwa Makawi of Bolton, doctor of philosophy in biochemistry and molecular biology, Liam Quinn of Sterling, bachelor's in interactive media, Joshua Talavera of Clinton, bachelor's in interactive media, Catherine Zanino of Sterling, bachelor's in interactive media, and Max Zhao of Bolton, cum laude with bachelor's in interactive media. Student project awards were announced. From Worcester Polytechnic Institute, students completed a capstone thesis called the Major Qualifying Project, a research-driven professional-level project that challenges students to solve the kinds of problems they would typically encounter in their professional discipline. The following local students, members of the class of 2026, completed projects. Bolton resident Amelia Jones, majoring in mechanical engineering. Clinton resident Charles Seaball, majoring in computer science. Lancaster resident Will Zawada, majoring in data science. West Boylston resident Sophie Koznetskov, majoring in psychological science. Clinton resident Daniel Sersmak, majoring in electrical and computer engineering. Boylston resident Imre Sunar, majoring in computer science. Lancaster resident Brian Dion, majoring in electrical and computer engineering. Clinton resident Maxwell Sievert, majoring in robotics engineering. Clinton resident Elias Montas, majoring in data science. Clinton resident Patrick Moran, majoring in mechanical engineering. And Bolton resident Alexander Berube, majoring in electrical and computer engineering. In addition, Clinton resident Stella Brulé, class of 27, majoring in environmental engineering, completed a project entitled Indian Lake Water Quality Protection. From Fitchburg, Sterling residents graduate from Monte Tech. Monte Tech held its graduation ceremony on Wednesday, May 27th, on the school's football field. Among the 350 class of 2026 graduates were Sterling residents Deckard Ackerman, Miller Backus, Noah Biastro, Nicholas Belleville, Elisa Bloomer, Michael Bloomer, Emma Cooper, Julia Fogarty, Brett Gargulinski, Louis Huntoon, Colin Lyad, Lilia Polzer, Janet Prest, Alyssa Ricciardi, Michael Tata, and Bailey Tetro. In obituary news, Pamela K. Philbin, age 80, of Lakewood Ranch, Florida, formerly of Bolton, Massachusetts, passed away at her family home on May 27th, surrounded by her loving family, after succumbing to a nearly 11-year battle with a rare brain cancer. Born on July 1, 1945, in Bayonne, New Jersey, Pam was the beloved daughter of Carl and Helen Ormsby Pepe. She was a graduate of Mount St. Mary Academy in Watchung, New Jersey, and the School of Language and Logistics at Georgetown University in Washington, D.C. Upon moving to Boston after graduating from Georgetown in 1967, Pam taught French at Catholic schools in Malden, Mass., and later in the Northborough Public Schools. Pam met the love of her life, David, while he was attending Boston College Law School. They married in July 1969 and honeymooned in Europe on a trip planned by Pam, the first of their many excursions as a couple and a family. They then began their life together in Davenport, Oklahoma, as participants in the Volunteers in Service to America, or VISTA, program. Pam and Dave moved to Bolton in 1983, where they raised their three children and made lifelong friends. In Bolton, Pam thrived in her role as homemaker and mother and was very active as a volunteer in the school system. She was the founder of the Bolton School Donations Committee, now known as the Bolton PTO. Later, Pam took on a more involved role in business as the owner of Woodlawn Nursing Home in Newport, New Hampshire, for over 20 years. Pam taught CCD at St. John the Evangelist Church for 10 years, and then at St. Francis Xavier Church for another 10 years. She prioritized her and her family's health and wellness, and was active in yoga and Pilates, and an avid tennis player and golfer prior to her illness. Pam and David loved to travel, and she was the hostess with the mostess for countless holiday gatherings for family and friends. Tragically, in November of 2015, while residing in Florida, Pam had to be life-lifted and underwent emergency brain surgery to remove a rare malignant tumor, leaving her permanently handicapped. Since her surgery, Pam remained her elegant self, yet underwent over 50 MRIs of her brain, experienced numerous hospitalizations, and participated in 10 years of extensive and continuous therapy modalities at various facilities, with her devoted husband at her side as her coach, trainer, and partner. Pam will be remembered as a role model for her children and many other mothers and families who sought her advice for handling parenting situations, for which she willingly offered her guidance. She faced each day with a quiet courage, courageous beauty. Her smile will remain with us forever. Pam is survived by her husband of nearly 57 years, David, and their three children, Megan Philbin and her husband, Tim Roby of Boston and Bluffington, South Carolina, Michael Philby and his wife, Courtney of Bolton, and Courtney Pfeffer and her husband, Gervais of Bolton. She is also survived by her seven loving grandchildren, Austin, Evelyn, William, and Ethan, and Carolyn, John, and Francis, as well as 17 nieces and nephews. Pam is also survived by her younger siblings, Charlene Kellerman and her husband, John, of Central Valley, New York, and Chuck Pepe of Laurel, Maryland. She was predeceased in death by her sisters, Patricia and Michelle, and grandchildren Elizabeth and Gervais Jr. A funeral mass was celebrated on Monday, June 1st, at St. John the Evangelist Church in Clinton. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions may be made to the early cancer detection charity Detect Together, founded by Pam and David's friends of 66 years, Jim and Nancy Coughlin. By mail, it's DETECTOGETHER, Detect Together, 53 Otis Street, Westboro, Mass., 01581, or online at DETECTOGETHER.org, DetectTogether.org. Online condolences may be placed at www.philbincomofh.com. In sporting news, submitted by Bill Marsh. From Andover, after an 8-5 victory over Amesbury in the MIAA Division IV State Tournament round of 32, the Clinton High School baseball team advanced to the Sweet 16 against top seed and once defeated Hamilton Wynnum 20-1 record. The results of that game were unavailable at press time. With the win over 16th seed Amesbury, the 17th seeded Gales, who are the champions of the Midland Wachusett League C division, improved to 15-4. They were undefeated in the league with a 12-0 mark and have won 8 of their last 10 games. Senior right-hander Jake Notaro was immense on the mound against the Red Hawks, going 6 2/3 inning while scattering 7 hits. He struck out 4 batters. Senior Brian Sylvester, who will pitch for Bountiley University next school year, pitched to 3 batters in the 7th inning, ending the game with a strikeout. After 2 scoreless innings, Clinton scored 3 runs in the top of the 3rd to take a 3-0 lead. 2 Amesbury errors and an RBI single by Jake McNamara accounted for the runs. The Gales scored on a solo run in the 4th frame, on an infield hit by senior Tom Bates, and an RBI stand-up triple by senior Josh Nelson to take a 4-3 lead. In the 5th inning, Clinton lost a run on a controversial fly ball tag-up play, with Notaro on 3rd after a single and 2 base error by the Redhawks. Senior Caleb Coyne lofted a fly ball to right field. Redhawks right fielder Andrew Parsons made a nice catch while Notaro tagged up at 3rd. While it appeared to be a routine sacrifice fly, the home plate umpire ruled that the runner left too soon. After Amesbury coach Kevin Murray protested, Murray, who challenged several plays during the game, was seen frequently talking to the umpires. The Gales made it 5-3 in the 6th inning on a walk to senior Aiden Dubois, sacrifice bunts by senior Drew Mortimer and Bates, and an RBI single by senior Josh Nelson. Up 5-3, Clinton put the game away with 3 runs in the 7th inning. With one out, McNamara singled to center field. Coyne followed with a booming RBI double. After Dubois reached on an infield hit, Sam Pupecki was sent in as a pitch runner. With runners on 1st and 2nd, senior Drew Mortimer stepped up to the plate and crushed a stand-up 2 RBI triple to center field, which supplied the necessary cushion to cement the victory. The Gales notebook notes that the game was played at Alumni Field, a turf field, which is the home for both the Greater Lawrence Technical School and Merrimack College. Also that Sylvester was selected as the Mid-Wachusett C Division Most Valuable Player. Jake Notaro, Josh Nelson, and Grady Frisch, and Jake McNamara received All-Star honors for the league. Thomas Bates was named an Academic All-Star. In an article submitted by Coach Robert Griffith of the Neshoba Girls Golf Team, Neshoba Golf ends successful season in 5th place. From Bolton, Neshoba came in 5th of 8 teams that competed in the MIAA North Central West Sectional Tournament May 26th at Ellenwood Country Club in Athol. Only teams with a 500 record or better qualified for the event. Neshoba's top 4 golfers shot a collective score of 414. Hopkinton won the event with a score of 369. The top 3 teams advanced to the state championship. Kylie Heffernan, senior, Jillian Heffernan, sophomore, Maddie Dempsey, junior, Victoria Masucci, sophomore, and Bella Paul, senior, and Maddie Gallant, sophomore, represented Neshoba at the event. Meg Amaral, junior, Brea Mond, sophomore, Juliana Cherubini, freshman, Olivia Rogers, sophomore, Fiona Demio, sophomore, and Violet Hone, sophomore, also contributed greatly to Neshoba's success this season, with Mond and Cherubini earning varsity letters this season. Kylie Heffernan tied for 10th place in the tournament, shooting a 14 over 85 on a difficult course. Kylie Heffernan advanced to the 2026 MIAA Spring Golf State Championship, which was held Monday, June 1st, at Indian Pond Country Club in Kingston, where she shot an 85. This was the third time in 3 years that Kylie Heffernan has qualified. At the sectional tournament, Neshoba's girls' golf was also recognized with the Sportsmanship Award, which MIAA officials deemed a major recognition because it was submitted by another team. Graduating seniors of the class of 2025, Millie Bowler, Ellen June, and L.A. Lomadou also played a huge part in that award, the coach said. Mike Shade of X-Golf and Hudson provided our team with valuable access to the virtual golf bays during the early spring season. Brendan Aylward, owner of Unified Health and Performance in Lancaster, generously opened his facility to support our athletes this spring. And, of course, we would not have a team at all without the support of Dave Carlson and the wonderful staff at Stowe Acres, who continually go out of their way to accommodate our ever-changing schedules and provide access to both the practice range and course. Their support has been instrumental to the success and growth of Neshoba Girls Golf. Submitted by Coach Robert Griffith. In Bolton, Bolton OK's brunch cocktail licenses. Brunch fans rejoice. Bolton has two new places for lifting a glass with your brunch on Sunday mornings. Following voters approving allowing the select board to consider extending alcohol serving hours on Sundays from noon to 10 a.m., members approved two applications at their May 28th meeting. Both Neshoba Valley Spirits, which serves brunch at Jay's at Neshoba Valley Winery, and Bolton Exchange Incorporated, serving brunch at Oak and Orchard, requested and received approval for extending the hours. The winery currently serves brunch at 10 a.m., but will now be able to sell alcohol early, according to Richard Pelletier. Oak and Orchard will now start serving brunch Sunday brunch earlier, owner Charles Mikol said. In Eagle Scout news, the Bolton Select Board approved three letters of commendation for three young men who have earned the rank of Eagle Scout. James Schneider created a bicycle repair station and custom-built kiosk at the head of Rattlesnake Hill Trail. Aben Ambrose designed and constructed a boardwalk along the border Boulder Trail to address a persistent wetland crossing. Nikhil Siano created and distributed Mason Bee houses and offered education. The Select Board congratulates you on earning the rank of Eagle Scout, the highest honor in scouting and a distinction earned through dedication, leadership, and service to the community, according to the Select Board letter. It is a significant achievement. The Scouts will be honored on June 6th. Summer concerts are getting underway in June. Music will give rhythm to the region as several summer concert series are held. Here's a listing of those received by the item. In Berlin, 19 Carter Community Center has 8 summer concerts set for Saturdays between June 20th and August 15th at the facility. Tickets are available now at 19carter.org, $175 for a summer pass. Individual tickets are $25 in advance or $30 at the door. $5 for students and free for children. 19 Carter will partner with local breweries and wineries at select concerts. On June 20th, the first concert is Southern Rail. For information, visit 19carter.org or email info@19carter.org. In Clinton, concerts are held every Tuesday in Central Park, with a rain date of Wednesday. Vendors expected include The Taco Dude, Sterling Street Brewery, The Fountain, Wheat and Water, and Fran Flynn. The host is Clinton Parks and Recreation. On June 16th, Fistful of Karma performs. On June 23rd, it's Mr. Strickland. On June 30th, Rogue Echoes. Lancaster's Thayer Memorial Library's annual concert series is set for Thursday, July 9, 16, 23, and 30 at 6:30 p.m. On July 9th, Outrageous Fortune performs. July 16th, Hungry Town. July 23rd, Hit the Bus Band. July 30, Blue Collar Ramblers. Sterling Recreation hosts concerts every Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m., June through August in Memorial Park behind the fire station. On June 3rd, The Vig performs. June 17th, The Rock Blockers. On June 24th, it's The Band from Uncle. From Lancaster, by Ken Cleveland, Lancaster keeps full-time conservation agent Trims RHR. Discussing the town budget, the select board at its June 1st meeting opted to go forward with the budget option presented by Town Administrator John Woodsmall. That includes a full-time conservation agent, a position several people argued was needed, and provides valuable service to the boards. But it comes at the cost of reducing funds to hire a human resources manager. The option works under the town meeting approved budget rather than using some free cash resources to fund part of the operational budget, a move that would require another town meeting. The board will be getting information and options on several topics, whether changing to a representative form of government would help given low turnouts for town meetings and elections, streamlining the permitting processes, and shifting to an appointed finance committee, which had been done in the past before returning to an elected board. In other business in Lancaster, the board made its annual appointments, a list of those who have volunteered to serve on town boards and committees. One, the Affordable Housing Committee, has too few members to meet, so is seeking new members. Also, the board opted not to explore eminent domain as an option to acquire North Lancaster properties in an effort to get them developed. In addition, a license application for all alcohol sales for off-premises consumption by the Racing Mart on Lunenburg Road was withdrawn since the town does not have a license to give. Its bylaws only allow for two restaurants. A change would be needed to allow the license. Also, state funds will be coming to Lancaster under the Community Culvert Program for design of Sterling and Deersorn roads over Goodrich Brook, about close to $200,000 to move forward. In addition, a $6,900 federal grant comes from the Office of Justice Programs Bureau of Justice Assistance via the Fiscal Year 2025 Bulletproof Vest Partnership Program. In addition, at the board's next meeting, June 15th, a couple of issues will be discussed. A Minuteman Regional Vocational Technical School District letter informing town of changes in the approved Fiscal Year 27 budget and a state option to prohibit door delivery of adult-use cannabis. And finally, the board approved the planned townwide yard sale June 20th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., and June 21st from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and the Neshoba Rock and Brew at the Lancaster Fairgrounds June 20th from 2 to 6. Our last article today is from Clinton. Cam happy to graduate as Gale. Every student wearing a robe and mortarboard as he or she walks across the stage to get that diploma as a member of the class of 2026 has overcome challenges to get there. One member has had a bit of a tougher road, but he set his goals and achieved them. Cam Gomez, 18, will graduate with his classmates on June 7th. Gomez is on the autism spectrum and has had challenges throughout his life, and he has always wanted to be seen and treated like everyone else. So when he set the goal of playing varsity football and giving his mother a rose on senior day, like his older brothers had, he worked hard to get there. And football, along with the friends he made among his teammates, will be his favorite memory of his high school career. John Smith, an instructional aide who has worked with Gomez at Clinton High School and as the past athletic director of Clinton High, said Coach Justin Ball came to him with Cameron 5 years ago. "You were clean-shaven at the time," he said to Gomez with a laugh. He got Gomez a waiver to join the team in grade 8. Ball told him, "He said he's a fighter." Cam is now a 5-year member of the football team and a 5-year varsity letterman, Smith added. It was important to Gomez that he study plays because his goal was to score touchdowns with the team. So he and Smith worked on them during the school day. And, 8 times in his high school career, he got to run what was called the special cam play that allowed him to carry the ball and score following the final whistle. But that wasn't enough for him during one of the final games this season during the playoffs. Gomez was called into the game during regulation, and he got to play defensive tackle for a play, a real play, in a real game. "He wears that as a badge to himself," Smith said. During April, Gomez worked with his mother, Tammy, to post social media messages during Autism Awareness Month. He said he wants to acknowledge the hard work people have done and what can be done by people who are autistic. Gomez has always challenged himself, including the time he ran for student council. "I wanted to try something new. I made a speech in the auditorium in front of the whole school," Gomez said, adding he wasn't nervous because he felt like everyone there was a friend. He said, "Besides football, the best thing about high school is all the friends I have. But things are not always easy." "Don't give up," Gomez advised. What he wants people to know about him, despite sometimes being too overwhelmed to be as outgoing with people he doesn't know, is, "I'm a human being too. I'm more overlooked than most outside school." But he hasn't felt that as much within the Clinton schools. "Here it's fun," Gomez said as he enjoyed the FATE program at Clinton High that teaches life skills. It's run by special education teacher Dakota Smith Porter. "The program ran a coffee shop within the class," Smith said. Cam worked the cash register. They took orders for sandwiches, coffee, and muffins. The class would deliver the products. It was a good experience, and he was proud he made tip money from the experience. It got his feet wet to work. "I like the trips," Gomez added. The group did a work-study program helping clean the weight room and other areas at Unified Gym, and also worked at the wheat office. "We learned how to use the train," Gomez said, with Smith adding they bought tickets and walked the rail trail on the way home. It's not the only class at the high school that has had a positive impact on Gomez. Smith has posted several photos and videos of Gomez cooking up different foods in Angela Kaiser's class. His mom was happy that, in Mrs. Kaiser's class, he tried different foods he would never try otherwise, Smith said. They cooked in groups, and he did everything the other students were expected to do. "I watched him bloom. He wanted to promote Mrs. Kaiser's class by putting on a cook's hat and promoting it on social media. He asked me at the beginning of the year to track his progress," Smith added. And the year wound down with a flurry of activity. He went with his FATE class on a trip to Polar Park. And at the time of the interview, he was looking forward to the middle school and elementary school walk through the halls one last time, seeing his old teachers. At the Academic Awards, Gomez got an award for the highest average in math. "I'm not good at math, and I'm not sure how that happened," Gomez said. "We always say we need to exercise the brain and the brawn," Smith said. Football is part of his past and present. After the football season, he wanted to send a letter to his football coaches and me for the support, and he sent letters to the elementary and middle school teachers who helped him, like his OT teacher and speech teacher. "Without them, he would not have been as successful," Smith said. At the annual smoker, which is part of the tradition the night before the Thanksgiving Day game, Smith made a big speech about Gomez, and the coach announced that the team was debuting an annual award, the Cam Gomez Ultimate Teammate Award. The first winner was Connor Cox, who Gomez said doesn't get as much attention as he should. "No one talks about him much," Gomez said. "He didn't have his time in the sun." Smith said he and Gomez suggested several possible winners, but finally settled on Cox because he made everyone feel part of the team. Gomez will be part of one more football experience, playing in the Senior All-Star Game, June 19th in Leominster. The Clinton coaching staff will be there along with Smith. Several Clinton players are eligible to play. Cam made the nomination form, Smith added. Gomez has big plans for his future. He'll be joining the Keystone Prep program to learn life skills, how to get a job, how to live on my own. I think everyone should know how to save money, Gomez said. I'll be sad to leave my other friends. I'm going to miss him, Gomez said about graduation. But he's also excited. He said his mom will probably cry like a baby. She will be happy and sad at the same time. He wanted to thank everyone who supported his journey and offered this advice to others who might be navigating through autism. Some days are hard, but don't give up. Keep working hard every day. Don't give up on yourself. We're all trying to change the world in some way, Gomez said. Smith has no doubt that Gomez will change the world in his own way. Cameron is a kind soul. I'm going to miss him. You made this place so much better. No one has one bad thing to say about him. The work he's done here is unbelievable. I have been dealing with student-athletes for 27 years. He gets me emotional. I'm so extremely proud of him, Smith said. Some days were hard, Smith said. There have been some extreme difficulties in the last 5 years, but he worked through it to get to his goal. I see a lot of people quit. Cameron never gave up. While Smith will not be working with Gomez after 5 years, he said they'll never really be apart. We're both proud Clintonians. Now we are both Clinton alumni, he said. Gomez wrote a note stating that school has been hard, overwhelming, but he wants to be like everyone else. Now, he said, he feels like a hyena in a field of lions, explaining hyenas are loud and they have to work hard. That is me. Everyone else is a lion. God made me this way, and I am happy. And that's it for the June 5th edition of the Clinton Item. This community news program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you'd like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. I'm Peter Wilson. Thank you for listening.
Hello, once again, Audio Journal listeners. This is Bill Ruggiero giving you the latest weather forecast for Tuesday, June 9th, 2026. For today, we'll have mostly sunny skies, highs near 86 degrees. For tonight, mostly clear skies, warm and humid. Lows will be near 72 degrees. For your Wednesday, it's called for mostly sunny skies, warm and humid with afternoon showers and thunderstorms. Highs Wednesday near 90 degrees. Wednesday night, showers and thunderstorms ending their mostly cloudy skies, warm and humid. Lows will be near and the mid-70s. And the outlook for Thursday is called for warm and humid conditions with mostly sunny skies, highs near 94 degrees. That, folks, is your latest weather forecast for today, Tuesday, June 9th. 2026. This has been Bill Ruggiero saying have a good and happy day, everybody, and please stay tuned for more programming up next on Audio Journal. Take care. Have a wonderful Tuesday, everybody. Bye.
Audio Journal, the radio reading service of Central Massachusetts, serving visually and print-impaired listeners since 1987. Audio Journal is a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. Would you like to hear news from Bolton, Harvard, Hudson, and Marlborough that you're not likely to hear on commercial television or radio? Then tune into Audio Journal every Thursday at 3 p.m.